Imagine with me, if you want, the scene. The morning is breaking, the night is yielding, the day is coming. The sky overhead is turning from black to blue. And the first rays of sunshine reveal to us some hard-working men busily engaged in their occupation. And these are men that are accustomed to seeing the sun rise over the Sea of Galilee. You see, they're fishermen, and their job required them to fish during the cool of the night when the fish were feeding. And now, after a long night of fishing, all that's left for them to do is to clean their catch, mend their nets, and sell their fish to those who worked in the markets. It was undoubtedly a hard life, but it put food upon their tables and a roof over their head. And while it was a hard life, it was nonetheless an important life, because the people of Israel, and indeed other places, depended on these fishermen and their catch in order to supply the food that they would need from day to day. The fish from Galilee were often salted and dried and exported throughout the whole land, and indeed further afield. This particular night, they're finishing off their work so that they could go home and rest their weary bodies. And as they're finishing off, a man whom they knew passed by on the shore. He spoke just a few words to them, but what he said would change the course of their lives forever. That may have been the scene when the Lord Jesus passed by the boats where Peter and Andrew and James and John were working, and his call certainly to them would forever change their lives. The public ministry of the Lord Jesus is just commencing. One of his first acts is to choose some men who will assist him in that work. And we might say that he's calling ordinary men to do the extraordinary work of God. The remarkable thing is, he is still calling ordinary men and women to himself. First, he calls us to salvation. He calls us to his service. He calls us to sanctification, a daily walk with him where we grow closer to the Lord each and every day. He is still calling. Are we still listening? Our text reveals something about the Lord's call. And I think it'd be good for us this morning to spend a few moments considering the call of the Lord and to ask ourselves the question, does God still call us today? Now, let me point out certain things about the call of the Lord Jesus to these men. Notice, firstly, the call is personal. It's a personal call. We are told that as the Lord Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, to Simon and to Andrew, come, and I will make you fishers of men. We're told a little while later, he saw James and John, and straightway he called them. So we can say that the call was personal. It was directed to these four men specifically. There were other boats there that day. There were other people working. But the Lord Jesus called these four specific men unto him personally. The same is true with us. The call of the Lord to us is an intensely personal matter. He calls us and he deals with us on a one-to-one basis. You've perhaps been in meetings where you felt the call of the Lord upon your heart, and you think to yourself, well, surely everyone must be feeling and hearing the same as I am. And then you realize to your shock and dismay that others have been passed by while the Lord has come to you personally and singled you out. calling of the Lord is personal. The preaching of the gospel, the call to faith, is heard by all that have ears to hear. But the Lord Jesus says that it is my sheep that hear my voice and follow after me. I find it interesting that when the Lord Jesus called these four men, he finds them working. Peter and Andrew are casting their net. James and John are mending their nets. And it seems that the call of the Lord to these men fit their personalities. Peter and Andrew, we find throughout the gospel account, are always casting the gospel net. They're either preaching fiery sermons or they're bringing people to the Lord. They're casting the net. They're busy in the work of evangelism. On the other hand, James and John, we find them mending their nets. They mend the nets to ensure that the fish don't escape. And the main emphasis of their work and ministry seems to be the progression and the growth of the church and of the body of Christ. What's interesting is the word that's translated mending there in verse 19. The Apostle Paul uses it in Ephesians 4 and verse 12 when he talks about the perfecting of the saints. It's the same word, mending and perfecting. James and John were mending the church. They were busy with the edification of the body of Christ. Of course, both of those ministries are still needed today. The point is, however, that the Lord designed and gifted each and every one of us individually for a specific purpose in his work. You can read through 1 Corinthians 12 when you go home, but you'll find that we're all described as being different parts of the same body, and each part of the body has a different function and a different ability. And one can't say to another part of the body that I don't have need of you, because we are required to make up the whole. The Lord takes us with our strengths and with our weaknesses, and he will use us to do his work. And since we're not all gifted in the same way, that means the Lord has a place for us in his body to do a work that only we can do. The question is this morning, are you doing what the Lord has equipped you to do? Are you trying to serve somewhere where you shouldn't be? You notice that the Lord called these men when they were working. They were busy men. Our Savior did not go and look for lazy men to go and carry out his work. He was looking for those who were already engaged. Too often, people say that they want the Lord to use them, but they're sitting waiting for the Lord to come and to point them in the right direction. He's already placed you within his family, put you within a church. If you look around you, you'll find that there's plenty of work to be doing. And if you need any help or assistance in that regard, I can certainly point you to things that need to be done. But you know what they say, if you want something done, ask a busy man. And the Lord came to those who were working. He put them to service in the work and the cause of God. It was a personal call to these four men. Now, let me point out something else about this call. It was a private call. When the Lord Jesus passed by that day, the real call was not in the words that he spoke outwardly, but in the call that they felt and heard inwardly. See, the call of Christ came first to their ears and then worked its way to their heart. And no doubt their hearts were touched and they felt a strange drawing power for them to go and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that neither Zebedee nor the servants nor any of the other fishermen received the call and none other followed after the Savior. And I'm reminded when I say this that so it is with the call of God. So often we hear what's said outwardly, be it by the preacher or through the reading of the scriptures. But the call of God comes inwardly, comes to the heart. The Spirit of God speaks where no voice of man is heard. That call heard privately personally is between the Lord and the person with whom he's dealing. Now it seems evident to me that the Lord has already been speaking to the hearts of these men since the first time that they met. And that explains why they reacted so instantly when the Lord called them. My question is, I wonder what the Lord is saying to our heart today. Far beyond what the preacher is saying, it goes in at the ear and maybe out the other ear, but what's the Lord saying to our hearts today? Is he calling you to salvation, to service, to sanctification? Is he calling you to leave all and to follow him? Let me just say that if the Lord is speaking to your heart, do not ignore him. Harden not your hearts, the scripture says. The Lord is speaking to you. Come like the boy Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." His call is personal. His call is private, is inward. His call is also public. And I'm not meaning to be contradictory here, but if you let me explain, when the Lord does that private work within our hearts, he receives no glory for that work until his will is seen publicly. And these men are being called upon in a private way by the Lord to make a public stand for the Savior. They're called upon to publicly line up with him and to associate themselves with his preaching, with his program. Throughout the years, there have been many servants of the Lord that have tried to keep their love for him secret and quiet. We might think of men even in the scriptures like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night because he didn't want anyone else to see. But eventually, their attempts at private service had to give way to a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. And God has not called us so that we might hide ourselves away and pretend that we're just like everyone else. His call demands that we take our stand with him regardless of what others will say about us. We have not been called to the secret service. We are living in a world filled with people who are lost in their sins and on their way to an awful eternity, trapped in the darkness of their sins, and they're lost and they need help. And one of the best ways that we can help them as Christians is to live openly and honestly for the glory of God. We are called to be salt and light in our communities. Our duty is to live a clean, holy, public life for the glory of God. And so I say to you this morning that if God has called you unto faith in Jesus Christ, let that fact be known publicly. Do not take your light and hide it under a bushel or under a bed. Take that light and put it on the candlestand and let it shine, and so that the whole room might be filled with the light and glory of God. Now is the time to make that which the Lord has done in our hearts privately, publicly known. They left on and they followed. There was a public declaration of faith and following Jesus Christ. His call is personal. It is private. It must be made public. His call is also precious. It's precious. You see, there's nothing special about these men. They're just ordinary fishermen. They're not highly educated. They're not part of the wealthy or the elite of society. They're not with the movers and the shakers. There's nothing that sets them apart from the thousands of others who live around the shore of the Sea of Galilee, yet the Lord chose them and called them to be his followers. And that's what makes them precious. A privilege that they enjoyed. I love what one old preacher said. He said, "This has always been God's way. He locates his finest treasures in the most obscure of places. He chose David to be king over all of his older and larger brothers. He chose Moses to be his servant to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt at the ripe old age of 80. Moses was a murderer and a fugitive from justice. He chose Abraham out of the thousands of men who lived in the Ur of the Chaldees. He chose Saul of Tarsus when he was yet a persecutor of the church. He chose a small boy with just a few loaves and fishes to feed a multitude. The Lord Jesus chooses those whom no one else would choose. And he does it for a very specific purpose, so that all of the glory belongs to him. The fact that a person gets saved and is allowed to serve the Lord is a privilege and a blessing beyond all comparison, because we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. If we got what we deserved, we would be cast away from God for all eternity. And the only reason we have hope at all is because of God's grace. To think that he would reach down from heaven and save such guilty, worthless sinners like you and I, and then put us to work in his kingdom. That's a precious calling. That he takes us like we are, saves us by his grace, puts us to his work. How can we explain that? That the God of all glory reached down and took a creature of dust and says, I want you and I'll use you for my kingdom and for my work. Oh, we should never take our salvation for granted. When the Lord called us and saved us, he did something to us more precious than silver and gold. He's given us an inheritance in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal. He's called us to faith in his Son and to an inheritance in glory. It is a precious calling. A precious calling. Let me point out something else about this calling. It's pricey. It's costly. These men are being called upon to make some very expensive choices. They've been called to leave their friends and their family and their fortune and to leave the only life that they have ever known, and they're expected to trade it in a moment for a life of uncertainty. They're trading the things they can see for things that they can't see. They're trading the things that they know for the things that are yet unknown. These men, all they know is fishing. Put them in a different scenario, a different work environment. They're out of their depth. They don't know what to do. The only thing they can do is fish. And the Lord Jesus calls them and says, follow me. And this is a call that will cost them everything. In the end, of all of the men that the Lord Jesus would call to him to be his disciples, all but one of them died for their service for their king, martyred for their faith. Some were hung, some were beheaded, some were crucified. It's a costly call, and yet they determined that the price was worth paying. We're told that these men, that as soon as they heard the call of Christ, that immediately, they left their boats and they left their nets and they forsook them. The idea is that they left them never to go back to them. This severed all their ties and they walked off, leaving everything behind. They considered that the Lord Jesus was worth more to them than the things that they were walking away from. We're told to consider the things of this world and ask ourselves the question, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The call of the Lord Jesus to these men was a costly, a pricey call. He had to leave everything behind to be a follower of him. And so while his salvation is free, and the power to serve him is given to us freely by his grace, the cost of being saved and of selflessly serving the Lord can come at a high cost. The Lord Jesus told those who were seeking to follow after him, he told them, day by day, take up your cross and follow me. Does that sound like an easy life? Take up the implement of your death and follow me. There'll be those who won't understand it, of course. They'll not understand the change that's come about in your life. They'll not understand your desire to follow the Lord, whatever the cost. They'll not understand the differences that the Lord is making in your life. They don't understand how you can just get up, walk away from what you're doing, and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Won't make sense to them. And as a result, many will turn their back upon you and will want nothing to do with you. Or they'll talk about you and say, have you heard of that fool who gave up everything to follow Jesus? The Lord would have us to come to a place where we value him more than anything else in this world. And it's only when he becomes altogether precious that we truly know the Lord. Sometimes we're called to give up nothing more than just our nets and our boats. At other times we're called upon to leave things that are precious to us. To come to serve the Lord. There's a cost involved. Don't let anyone ever tell you that it's easy to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. They're lying to you if they tell you that. Because there will be trials to face. And there will be self-sacrifice, and there will be problems, and there will be difficulties, and there will be enemies. And yet when even all of these things rear their ugly heads against you as we pass through this world, we will come to the end and we will say, yes, but he was worth it all. He was worth it all. There's no sacrifice that you and I will be called to make that we'll look back and regret and say, I wish I kept that rather than Jesus. This call is pricey, but he is worth it all. Let me show you something else from our text. His call is powerful. When the Lord called these men by name, and they left their nets and their profession without question, they didn't hold a committee meeting. They didn't have a debate. There was no vote to be taken. There was no contract negotiations as to how long their service would be or what they might receive in return. The Lord called them, and these men immediately, straightway, we're told, left everything to follow him. They stepped out of their ships, stepped away from their lives, and they followed Jesus. A powerful change has overtaken. Their lives will never be the same again. They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their incomes, their friends, their family, and they took a new lifestyle of doing what Jesus did. The first thing he has them to do is to walk. Come, follow me. They started out after Jesus. They walked as he walked. They walked where he walked. They walked to his destination. They walked at his speed. They followed in his steps. That's what serving the Lord is all about. They walked away from the old life. They would never return to it again. Oh, they tried. John chapter 21, they tried to go back, but they couldn't. The Lord had changed them. Changed their habits, changed their desires, and even when they went back to fishing, there was no joy in it anymore. Their lives would never be the same. Peter and James and John would be martyred for the Savior. John would be boiled in oil and exiled to Patmos. When the call of the Lord comes to a life, whether it's for salvation or for service, it's a powerful call. He's looking for instant obedience. And with that call, there comes a dramatic change in the life of the one who is a follower of Jesus Christ. There's a change that's so dramatic that it's not possible to return to the old life that you've left. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. He gives us a new desire and a new heart, a new love for the things of God. If you've experienced that call of God, then follow him. Don't look to hold on to the things of the world or the things of the past. If he's calling you, allow nothing to hinder you. Allow no one to stop you. Respond in faith, and like these men, immediately and straightway be a follower of the Lord. One last thought. His call is profound. We've said already, all these men knew was fishing. And when the Lord Jesus called them to follow, he made them a promise, and he framed it in such a way that they would understand. He says, I want you to follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You're still going to be fishermen, only you're not going to be fishing for fish, you'll be fishing for men. And instead of casting your nets into the Sea of Galilee, you'll cast the gospel net into the sea of humanity. Instead of a net, you'll use the word of God. And he promised to take them as they were and to make them into what he wanted them to become. And that's what he did. That's what he still does. He took those men and he changed them and used them in powerful and profound ways for the glory of God. He caused them to become what they had never been before and what they never intended to be in life. But the Lord transformed them into something of usefulness. So know this, when the call of the Lord comes to you, you can expect some changes to take place in your life. You might be thinking, well, the Lord can't use me as I am, and you may be right. But he is able to work in our heart, and he's able to transform us into what he wants us to become. I can assure you, if you had met me in my teens and early 20s, you would never have said, well, there goes a preacher of the gospel. I was shy. I would rather the earth opened up and swallowed me than to stand in front of a congregation and to speak. It was the furthest thing from my nature and my temperament. And I'd probably say with the degree of certainty that no preacher called of God knows how to preach when he's first called. We don't know what the Lord wants us to do, and we certainly don't know how we're going to do it when he calls us. But the Spirit of God works in the heart of God's children, and he prepares them for service for the Master. And he'll take the little gifts and talents that you have by nature, and he'll refine them, and he'll polish them, and he'll adopt them, and he'll enhance them, and he'll make you into what the Lord desires you to be for his glory. And he'll take your skill as a fisherman and he'll transform it into fishing for men. And the best thing that you can do is to place the clay of your life into the hand of the heavenly potter and put yourself at his disposal and allow him to shape you and mold you and make you into what he wants you to be. Into a vessel of honor that he can use. And you'll find then that the greatest ability that you can bring to the Lord is your availability. That God will use you. And he will use you if you make yourself available to him. These men came to the Lord as fishermen. And through a life of closeness with the Lord Jesus, as a follower of the Lamb, as a disciple of the Master, he slowly but completely transformed them into what he wanted them to be for his kingdom's sake. And the Lord passed by that day the Sea of Galilee and called these men to himself. Little did they know what the Lord intended for them. Yes, they were busy, but they weren't doing anything of an eternal nature. If they'd continued to live their lives on the shore of Galilee, they would have caught their fish, and they would have raised their families, and they would have died and been forgotten. But the Lord called them to a new life, to become followers of him. And in that moment, then their lives become of an eternal value. And God used them in ways that still impact the world today. That's what he does with every life that he touches. He takes us away from the mundane and the shallow and the empty, and he places us in a position where we can be part of something that will last forever. Let me ask you just in closing, where are you laying up your treasures? Upon earth or in heaven? Are you living your life for the things of this world that are temporary and passing? Are you living a life with eternal significance because you're doing something for the Lord? Is the Lord Jesus this day passing by and calling you to himself for salvation, for service? What will you do with that call? My words, as I said before, they stop at the ear. But if the Lord is speaking to your heart, can I just say today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, but become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and immediately forsake all and follow him. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts this morning for his own name's sake. Amen.